And we are back with another episode of the podcast presented by Simple Math Matrix. It's your boy, Mr. aka Super Raw 357, best known as Prince Godbody. And I'm joined by
the kid who lyrics stick to your ribs, also known as the God King Hoopla.
And this week, we have to start off on a somber note. I guess we'll start off with what happened last week. On Monday of last week, June 27th, Jalen Walker, in an attempt to flee the police, he got out of his car and he ran.
Mm-hmm.
But it was six officers, my bad.
Yeah.
Six officers that pursued him and proceeded to shoot him 60 times.
Yes. Which is fucking insane.
It's ridiculous how much gun violence, especially gun violence against black people,
exactly,
and or just gun violence against civilians, will make it broader. And then gun violence is not being solved.
Nah. No form.
Gun violence is the common denominator, but nobody's solving the equation.
Nobody's rushing or wanting to.
In this situation, there is the officers got placed on administrative leave while it's being investigated, and that's what we hear all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The footage just recently came out, like the dash cams.
Yeah, it came out a few days later. But the thing really about this situation, the Jalen Walker situation, and being shot 60 times, is it just goes to show that police exert their power in a cowardice way.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even 6-on-1 in a fist fight, 6-on-1 and the one guy has a gun, you know what I'm saying? And you're a police officer.
Yeah.
And like I said, this comes back to that notion of gun violence and us not solving it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the police in this situation, they're only on administrative leave,
mm-hmm,
and we don't know how it'll play out, but they'll probably end up likely somehow
getting suspended
or not getting their just due as far as paying for murdering this guy, like in a mob type of way.
Literally.
But when shit like this happens, and then this week, what we have about talking about later, all the shootings on 4th of July happen, which one do you go for first? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do you attack the citizens' rights to own guns, or do you control police, like possession of guns?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm not saying that police in general don't need guns, but every cop does not need a lethal weapon, probably.
But how do you gauge that, though? How do you vet that process?
Take it from people first.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's things like this Jalen Walker situation where a young black man, it's a race thing. And yeah.
Because all I'm thinking right now is how many times you've seen videos of cops chasing after one dude without anybody using a gun. If you'd be like 5-6 cops chasing after one dude across the highway, nary one of them uses a goddamn gun.
Yep.
So what part of this stop made it so differently to where they had to shoot?
They thought he posed a threat when he started running.
One person.
Against six cops. Yeah.
One person.
That's what I'm saying.
Nah, I want everybody to know. One person. Six cops.
And the thing about it is they're saying they're afraid because, you know, he poses a threat. But if and this is not me going Blue Lives Matter. This is just me thinking logically.
Was he running?
Yeah, he was running.
He was fleeing?
Yeah.
How do you pose a That's another thing. How do you pose a threat when you're fleeing?
You can always turn around and shoot
you
a gun.
You can always turn around, but
that's exactly what Chief Keef did. Mm. Well, you know what I'm saying? But the fact of citizens having such open availability of weapons is what I'm going back to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Jalen Walker.
No,
had a
weapon. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going back to his case specifically.
Yeah.
I'm saying in general, having like citizens being able to have weapons creates the reasonable doubt space for police to have fear, mm-hmm, of citizens when they can't see their hands. Honestly.
I guess so.
You don't know who has a gun.
You don't know who has a gun. But are you supposed to approach every situation with... So you can use that logic for every police killing within the last 20 years.
No, you can't.
Exactly.
No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't.
Exactly.
No, you can't. Nah.
I'm literally saying exactly. Yeah,
nah.
Exactly.
You say that, nah, you can't.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm, that's what I'm saying. It's still gross, but I'm saying like things like this get bypassed when things like what we're about to talk about happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not downplaying his murder or any police murders. I'm saying that police murders get downplayed when citizens kill citizens. When the quote unquote protector of citizens kills a citizen, it's because they were protecting other citizens.
Yeah.
But when a citizen kills a citizen, what were they doing?
But then that just goes back to our other point that we always make about the police. What are they there for?
They don't really
stop crime.
Yep. So, they don't stop crimes at all. Well, I won't say at all, but
well, not, majority like, of the time, they do not stop crimes. Yeah.
Yeah. The big thing that, man, this is wild. On what is seemingly supposed to be America's most joyous, carefree, happy, everybody nationalism, get along day.
Patriotic.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's proud to be American. Mm-hmm. Or at least you know you're free, supposedly.
Yeah.
All the shootings happen.
It's not like the Fort Lee days.
Yeah, it's all the shootings happen. And most notably, the one in Highland Park, Illinois, mm-hmm. which is an upper scale part of Chicago, suburb of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And a kid, again, a white kid, went out, posted on the roof. He killed 6 people and 24 more were injured at the very least from the latest reports I read.
Mm-hmm.
And in his manifesto, he was talking about being the child of MK Ultra and liberals, and he was a Trump supporter and all of that nonsense, because it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
All of that nonsense goes back to the root that this mass shooting culture that is bred in America is something that people know they're going to get famous off of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this kid is not dead. This kid is still alive, especially because he's... Yeah, of course. They didn't even know who he was at first. Like
they
couldn't identify him. But he's still alive. And it's... When he has these stupid quasi-fucking, like... revolutionary thoughts, whatever you want to call them.
Theories.
Yeah, it goes to show that at a certain point, it becomes word pasta. If you're on the internet, you know what copy pasta is.
Mm-hmm.
It's all copy pasta. It's all the words behind it is an excuse to shoot a gun and kill people.
Yeah.
You know why? Because people have access to the fucking guns.
And people are crazy. People are fucking crazy.
And the thing is, you wouldn't know somebody's crazy because, you know what I'm saying?
Nobody gives a fuck. And you can act, it's too late to give a fuck.
Let's say crazy. You can act not crazy long enough to buy a gun anywhere.
Yeah.
That, you know,
especially if you don't have a record for being crazy.
Yep. And even if you do, that doesn't bar you from buying a gun.
Exactly.
And it's the fact that he's committed, what, the third? Not even the third.
No, that, it's definitely not.
Because there was 3 mass shootings because 2 cops got killed in Philadelphia around our area and got lit up. It's the thing that now it's almost a race to get your shit off.
Exactly.
As far as terrorism, domestic terrorism. Like, it's a race
being
to get your shit off.
Society.
No, yeah, like, for real. At this point, I feel like most people that ever wanted to really commit a crime, for real. And when I mean a crime, I mean a domestic terrorism crime. If somebody ever wanted to shoot up a school or something like that, you know what I'm saying? It now is, I'm not going to say the best time, but this is where they're taking the opportunity to. Like, copycat murders have always been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now murders don't happen individually. They happen in mass.
Yeah, exactly.
And so now people are copycatting that.
And the thing
and
about
they have
it
access
is,
to do it.
And the thing about it is that was the best thing the pandemic offered.
What?
No school shootings. And I'm not saying like that. Like the quality of mass shootings went down, because you wonder why?
Nobody was in school.
People were stuck in the motherfucking house.
Yup.
People
nobody
weren't
was
out,
in school.
Nobody was going out buying guns, getting annoyed by everybody else. I think
there was just nobody for. There was no place for people to congregate.
Yeah.
For people to commit mass murders.
Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about that when the shit was going, like when the lockdown was really going on.
It's a sick joke, but the best part of the upside was no school shootings.
Exactly.
No public shootings. Like, as soon as kids get back in the classroom, what happens?
School shootings.
As soon as parades go back, what happens?
People shooting them up.
And it's wild that we live in a place where the internet knows that America has a mass shooting season for mass shooting.
I thought it was just any time.
Same.
I thought it was.
And that's the wild part. Yeah. It's like here, it's anytime. To other places, they think it's just a season.
Nah, nah. And then you look at other countries and they're...
But look at it, even look at it like this. Kids died and we haven't done shit. We haven't done any... Say they have a bipartisan bill and no, that's... Come on.
But they was able to get...
Come on, that's not shit.
Well, nah, they weren't. But they was able to pass random rights bills and every... Well, you know what I'm saying?
Take away abortion. Exactly. All, this shit.
All that within
quick
a week.
Quick snap in a hurry.
Exactly. So they focus on what the fuck they want to focus
of
on.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that's American politics.
American politics is running by their agenda. So it's really hard to be patriotic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not.
But, I mean, not at all.
By any means.
Not nationalistic, none of that jazz.
Nah, I can't even hold you on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So while we're getting there, while we're inching out of nationalism, you want to address the Brittany Griner letter release?
Oh my gosh, these notes are not in order.
No, they're not in order. Yeah, my bad.
I was going to introduce them.
Hey, go.
But so we finally got word from Brittany Griner. She had released a letter, sent it to the White House, pertaining her situation and asking, can
somebody fucking
help her?
Yeah, mainline, you know this saying? Case because I need to get the fuck out of here. Is what she's
talking about. She voted for him. He needs to help that, you know what I'm saying? Which is true.
What, yeah, the sick part,
the Olympic jersey?
There's a lot about this that killed the letter that killed me. because I understand why her case should be expedited and such. But the way she wrote the letter was not, like, if they the parts I've seen that they released to the public seemed, I mean, everybody wants to get the fuck out of there. You know what I'm saying? But it was unnecessary. I feel like releasing the letter to the public was unnecessary, mainly because it made it seem lighter than the situation was. That's what my qualm was with the releasing of the portion of the letters.
Yeah.
Saying things like, I feel like I'm here without my protection of my Olympic jersey and other accomplishments.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she didn't say that. And the way I've read that wasn't like, my Olympic jersey protects me in a foreign country because I'm a status athlete of America. Nah. It was, I miss seeing my trophy. Because when she's the other, I miss seeing my trophies and other shit like that. And what was the other thing you mentioned?
About voting for Biden.
Yeah, she said my first time voting was 2020, and I voted for you, so that's why you should release me. Which I you know what I'm saying, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
But why would it not be, when you're in a position of a political prisoner, stop trying to cheese dick to the motherfuckers that are going to help you anyways. You should, if you're going to write that letter, in my opinion, and I mean, I'm nobody's publicist, but you say, you know what I'm saying? You say, hey, I don't know if you understand, but at this point, it's seeming as though I'm a political prisoner, and this goes beyond me wanting to be comfortable. This goes to show a display of power that a foreign nation such as Russia, which is enacting things you call unlawful and undemocratic.
But don't you think those things have to go through Russia first?
No, I mean,
you have to read that first before that gets out. And I think that's a big thing, too.
Yeah, you know what, you're right about that. You're right about that.
She can't put herself in that position.
In that case, I blame the publicist or, help me out here.
Manager, lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's agent. Who I blame in that case.
Yeah, her team.
Yeah, because there's no way that you... I don't know. You just,
you're not going to be able to shit talk.
I understand how it appeals to the public, though. And I guess they're thinking that people are a lot more small-minded than they are. That's all I can see.
You think everybody's like you?
Oh, I think everybody's like me, you say?
Well, no, you don't. You don't. You actually don't.
But I know what you're saying.
You think everybody thinks like you.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
All right. Let's start with the smaller thing.
What's the small one? What's the small one, mister?
Say
niggas fucking up their career or careers that just been
niggas fucking up their wives.
Well, all right. Fucking up their careers. All right. Yes.
Yeah, double time?
Yeah.
Well,
let's just say the
It's the Charlotte. Timing.
Charlotte is crazy.
Charlotte's curse. Oh my god! You know what, bruh? You know what the fuck I just came up
what
with?
What the fuck did you just come up with, everybody? What the fuck he just come with, everybody?
It's like a kid show.
I'm about to say.
But no, dead ass. Hey, I do blame Miles Bridges, but it's Charlotte.
It's Charlotte.
Look at that. Look at the baby.
The baby.
The baby was whooping niggas' asses.
Well, he's from Charlotte.
Charlotte. When you can drink,
I'm not talking shit about
that. Charlotte water makes you want to fuck motherfuckers up, I guess.
And Montrezl Harrell.
No matter if they deserve it or not.
Drugs across the borders.
Hey, they make it. But no, in all seriousness, not to be joking. I'm telling you, yeah. Motherfuckers get finessed when they go to.
It's Michael Jordan, man.
Yeah, Michael Jordan's a terrible owner.
Yeah, he is.
But in all seriousness, Miles Bridges, mere hours before he was about to probably sign the biggest contract he'll probably ever get in his life, at this point, he is arrested on domestic violence charges. And the evidence is kind of insurmountable. Like, it's insurmountable. It's there.
And you got child testimony, too.
That part, I don't agree with them releasing online.
I don't agree with them releasing.
Online.
Yeah, I feel that. I respect
using the child testimony because the child is not going to tell a lie a good part of the time. Yeah. Like, the child is just going to tell what they saw. So I do understand that using that.
But to put on the internet is.
But this, to go on the internet, and it's not about making Miles Bridges look bad and the baby mother look better. It's about putting the child in a position where they're the star of crime that was.
Or just put them in a public light. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the public life for a crime committed by a grown man.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna. There's nothing to say, but he fucked up.
Yeah, he fucked up completely.
Nah, what goes through your mind to do that?
I don't know. I have no earthly clue.
I mean, and now that he's fucked up on the domestic violence shit.
He's not getting no money.
We can talk about him posting the blunt and the lean on fucking Instagram.
Oh, yeah, he was doing that. See, these niggas.
He's been on a dummy mission. How do you have that much money already and still be on a dummy mission your entire life?
Hey, man, the NBA is losing its guidance.
The NBA ends up losing his guidance. Guys have always been doing whatever they wanted.
That's
it just
true.
Hasn't been in the limelight. I'm not going to say guys have been, you know,
being
up there to do a domestic violence.
Yeah,
but as far as drugs and partying, that's always been a thing.
That's
acceptable if you have enough sense to keep it out of the limelight. But he did it. He posted on his Instagram. And to follow it up with such a heinous act as this, he probably won't play in the NBA ever again. He fucked up his entire. I mean, he has a lot of money, more than you know what I'm saying. But he fucked up his entire life off that
shit.
Essentially,
hell yeah.
It's not
going to take off no more either.
What is it?
Well, I don't know.
Well, now the rap career don't really matter. I mean, that'll probably take off more.
That actually might take off more.
Would that be sick? You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be sick?
I mean, sad to say, rap and hip hop is the only thing where domestic violence gets swept under the rug.
Almost encouraged, yeah.
Nah, I don't say it's encouraged, but it has been in the past.
Nah, yeah, has been, not necessarily now.
Yeah,
the scope of rap has changed a lot now, but like you said, the degradation, just like unfair treatment of women,
it's
kind of a central topic of rap music in general.
Yeah, that's, probably around
this is when it comes
late
down
80s,
to.
mid-90s. That's when it kind of started happening.
Late 90s, I say.
Late
90s. Well,
no, mid-90s, NWA,
yeah.
Bro.
Conscious, yeah. I know you're saying, yeah. No, you're right about that.
Yeah,
you got
NWA
that.
NWA was talking shit about, you know what I'm saying, Dr. The Chronic, you know what I'm saying?
We talking about what, mid-90s? We talking about early mid-90s?
Oh, just not listening, you know what I'm saying, to the Ghetto Boys.
There's a star. Yeah, I do love Ghetto Boys.
Yeah, we do love
Ghetto Boys. But to get a... We gotta get prepared for this transition. Damn, all I just watched when I was looking at the video. Got all three of the best centers of all time right now lined up. Kareem, Shaq, and Wilt. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy, man.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
That's true.
But I really wanna get into the meat of the potatoes and shit.
The meat and potatoes. Of course it's
R. Kelly.
Oh yeah, he's done.
R. Kelly has now been sentenced to 30 years in his first trial. And he's awaiting trial in August in New York. He's been convicted of essentially sex trafficking.
Yes.
Which equates to pimping nowadays. They don't. R. Kelly is the biggest example of.
What happens when the law is done correctly?
Yup.
What happens when that shit is done correctly?
R. Kelly is a fucking heinous human being. He's a disgusting fuck. You know what I'm saying?
That's fact.
And it's wild that I would figure that the government was on to him long before they charged him and they kind of let it build just for evidence. But even though that's at the fault of the victims, like that kind of kills the victim, like he brings more victims in. Uh-huh. They have him. R. Kelly is solidly behind bars. He'll never see the light of day again.
Nope.
And for a good reason. But at the same time, this begs that question of how hard. See, okay, not how hard. No. I'll put it this way, because this is the more PC way to put it. R. Kelly going to jail. R. Kelly's going to go to jail for 30 years.
Yeah.
We'll never see R. Kelly go to jail. We'll never see R. Kelly again in our lives. R. Kelly's in jail for 30 years, and he's going to go to jail probably for another 20 to 30 when he goes to trial in August in New York. So his life's in prison.
Yeah.
The rest of his life's in prison. We're going to stop listening to his art. People are going to stop listening to his art, so to speak, so they don't put any money in his pocket. But then you have people like Harvey Weinstein, which they fund projects such as Pulp Fiction, but we'll watch that.
Or Backstage.
Yeah. It goes to show you the severity of how bad R. Kelly was in it.
Yeah.
R. Kelly was not harassing grown women, and that's the central point of this, is that R. Kelly was harassing children. And no matter how you cut it, he is the biggest pedophile ever. Like, he may be the biggest, he might be the best R&B artist of all time, but he's also the biggest pedophile of all time.
Yeah.
The way they're phrasing it, the way they've poised it,
I mean, he up there with that dude from Britain. You remember that documentary I told you about?
The Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile. Them two niggas is up there.
Exactly. R. Kelly is essentially America's Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile.
Yep. Yeah, Savile. Whatever you want to call
it. I'm sorry.
I mean, people like that don't deserve their just due.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's really where R. Kelly has become a conundrum for
Black America.
Yep.
Black
That's
America.
What I wonder. Yep.
That's what we got to say. We got called out Front Street because, you know, Black America is the ones like, yeah, you got to listen to the music. You know what I'm saying?
Does Black America really stop endorsing R. Kelly?
No.
Now that he's committed these heinous crimes and he's been punished?
It depends. It depends on what side of the fence you're on, my friend.
But I'm talking about as a majority.
As a majority, no.
I mean,
no.
We're going to conjecture. We're going to stereotype a little
hell
bit.
Hell no. As a majority, no. Because you don't even hear that shit now.
Where? I mean.
Where's the last time you heard somebody... in a collective, a group of people playing R. Kelly.
That's true. That's
you don't hear
true.
A collective of people playing R. Kelly.
So I think in that sense.
Because we all know people that still play R. Kelly.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say there's nothing wrong with playing the music because the money's not going in his pocket. R. Kelly doesn't own
read.
His music.
Yeah. Can't read.
You know what I'm saying? No, not even that. R. Kelly doesn't own his. So R. Kelly doesn't make music off the streams.
Yeah.
Make and so whatever, if you want to listen to it that way. But publicly, like you said, at parties and shit, I don't
nobody's
know.
Nobody's playing step, slide aside. Nobody's playing I Believe I Can. Nobody's playing that. Because you want to know why? Just how we always say, everybody plays stuff off of a playlist. No playlist has R. Kelly.
Hold on. Repeat that.
Because at most functions, they don't have a DJ. They're playing a playlist.
Yeah, that's true.
And even if they play an early 2000s playlist, they don't have songs about with R. Kelly. Even
they're not going to put it on
there.
They're
not going to, you know what I'm saying? So he's already been banned off of everything outside of his music still being able to be on the platform.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's his labels at that point, like you said. But they're not going to, you know what I'm saying? So it's like if it's not being thrown at you out there, especially in this day and age, so nobody's going to be able to
pick it up.
Exactly.
My question then is, so we've stopped listening to R. Kelly and his music. But at what point do we stop listening to music that R. Kelly was a part of? That's the big question as far as diminishing his legacy and diminishing him as a person. Because, like, we will reiterate, he deserves everything he's getting. He's a heinous human being. But he's touched so many
songs,
projects, albums that people really love, from B2K to Aaliyah to Space Jam, you know what I'm saying, to Michael Jackson. Do people omit those things as well?
Nah, because you don't know why.
They're not
age is none but a number. Still comes up on playlists, so they don't omit it.
But why not?
I have no, because I guess because he's not the one singing it.
And it goes back to the same principle.
It's kind of like the Harvey Weinstein. Because Harvey Weinstein's not out in the motherfucking movie.
He's not in the movie. He's so nowhere it's okay
near
to watch
him. Well, he's probably near the movie, but he's nowhere near the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
So. R. Kelly was never really making any money anyways from the music. I mean, he's pretty much exposed that. We all know that.
Yeah.
R. Kelly's broke now. He's going to rot in jail for the rest of his life.
As he should.
But does his art rot in jail? Like, that's the question.
I mean,
because honestly, if we're going to, he has timeless classics as a singer, songwriter. Does art done by him still rot?
Here's what's going to happen, mister. It's going to become documentary after documentary. And that's probably going to be the only way in the future generations that people know about R. Kelly. Because they're going to start painting him. He's already painted.
They already set up the canvas.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that's all they got to do now is just boom, boom. Don't even give a fuck about his music. Boom, boom. Don't even give a fuck about his music. The music might be there.
Yeah.
But now the music's going to be used as an example. Oh, he was talking about little girls.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like when we grew up. We heard Step, you know what I'm saying? We just listened to 12 Play.
Yeah.
Thinking it was, you know what I'm saying? Thinking it was all about a girl until we further grew up and found out what that shit was really about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So now all little babies and all little kiddies can know R. Kelly.
They know the basis of everything. Yep. Yeah, I know you're saying.
Yep. So it's not hard. It's going to be done. Just like
what kids don't know the basis of today. So get back in the light notes and almost finish it off.
Yep. Because you want to know who is actually, I'd say vocally, the current king of R&B. That's, you know what I'm saying, not in prison. I could say that.
Keep going, I'm going to think. Keep going.
You know Usher. What I'm saying? Usher. He had a nice little tiny desk. And showed
nice
it.
Nice little
He tiger. Showed why he's Usher Raymond. And why he's been doing this for 25 plus years.
Damn, yeah. 25 plus years. Usher with that performance on the NPR title Tiny Desk. Yeah. I said title desk. Yeah. Tiny Desk. He showed us why he got that Vegas residency.
Yeah, exactly.
Why he's cemented as a legendary act from our generation.
Mm-hmm.
To see him do those songs sitting down the way he did them.
Chilling.
With Eric Bellinger
in the back. Sweat.
Not a sweat.
Had a choker on.
And he did all the classics. Usher's Tiny Desk, I feel like, immediately was cemented and kind of the classic Tiny Desk archive, just because of how well he did off bat.
Mm-hmm.
He hit all the notes. He sang all the songs we wanted to hear. He didn't leave any fucking stone unturned with his NPR Tiny Desk.
He snapped.
And with him doing it the same week as Chris Brown drops an album, makes me think he was stepping on my man a little bit. And when I mean a little bit, I say a lot.
I don't know. Because if you look through it, I don't know if you read the Jane. That Jane was filmed during Something in Water. Something in Water happened like a week and a half ago.
But they know when to release it.
They usually release them within a week.
They know when to release it.
I mean, they know, but hey, I'm not going to say that.
He stepped on Sea Breezy and he said, there is no verses between Usher
and
Sea Breezy.
And you know what's crazy?
Because Usher is smoking Sea Breezy's boots every day.
Vocally, yes. Vocally.
Fuck the dancing.
I'm not talking about how
Omarion got smoked.
I'm talking about they go on live. That's when I realized, Chris Brown lost. When I sat down and I listened to that NPR, I sat down in my car, where the fuck I was, for 24 minutes and listened to that bitch while smoking the J. I said, this shit is. I said, where the real R&B cats? I think I said that the other day. I said Chris Brown's probably like the last real R&B pop cat.
Oh, yeah, he definitely
He's the last real R&B pop cat. But where, after that, it's like Chris Brown, Usher. Like, you know what I'm saying? We go back.
Exactly.
Omarion kind of knocked himself out the motherfucking chain, but he never really been like that nigga. You know what I'm saying? But
that's what I'm saying. He's smoking
booze. That's the thing. It's only Usher and Chris Brown.
And Usher is still killing Chris Brown.
And Usher's still smoking up Chris Brown.
Every fucking day.
And I love Chris Brown, too. No knock to Chris Brown, because Chris Brown got some classics.
Oh, Chris
We're not going to say Chris Brown don't got no fucking class.
The new Chris Brown album is amazing.
I haven't listened to it yet. I don't know why I have not sat down and listened to it yet.
It's actually pretty good. We'll talk about that. So, Chris Brown, because I forgot all about that. Chris Brown.
Dropped Breezy.
He did drop Breezy. And honestly, this is one of the better albums that he's dropped. Chris Brown dropping Breezy. He showed his, like, it's his bag. You know what I'm saying?
I just don't really care for Chris Brown rapping too much.
He doesn't rap that much. This is not that rap.
I don't know. That was the first song that I heard. I'm like, that's just me personally.
The songs that I've listened to and I really like, he's going on his vocal prowess shit. I won't say that it's the best Chris Brown album,
yeah,
but it's amazing. And he kind of responded to that on Instagram like a week ago. He was saying, like, whenever Chris Brown is in some bad shit, y'all, you know, all hyped up when I drop music, y'all crickets. And he was saying he's dropping Deluxe in that same statement.
Yeah.
So I think he thinks it was a flop too. But for real, as somebody who likes Chris Brown but isn't like huge on Chris Brown, it's one of the better Chris Brown tapes.
The thing about Chris Brown
projects, whatever.
The thing about Chris Brown gonna do numbers. I don't really see Chris Brown has never not did numbers. Even on these long ass albums, he did numbers.
He didn't really do the numbers this time though, I don't think.
He didn't?
Not to really count.
No. But you know, I mean, yeah, it was like his 9th album.
You think people are tired of Chris Brown
then?
Hell no. No, because you said 9th, it's what, like, it's what is, you said that like they're tired of him.
No, I didn't say
so
that.
Why he didn't do numbers?
Shit, Drake didn't do numbers and it's like his 9th album.
Because it was trash.
Mm. But you said it wasn't.
I didn't think, I don't think
but
either.
Did he have a single come off this one though?
Warm Embrace.
I don't know. I don't listen to the radio.
So. Yeah, that one. You have Warm Embrace. But that's about it. Mm-hmm. Shit. Free agency, too.
What else happened?
In free agency?
Yeah. KD said he's going to leave. Yeah. He wants to leave. Kyrie signed, opted in. James Harden opted out, didn't he?
But he's opting out to opt in.
To reconstruct, yeah.
That's what we want to talk about. Michael Rubin's white party. That's what it is. We fuck free agency. Did you see?
Are you talking about the Hamptons yesterday?
Yeah. Did you see that shit?
Yeah, it was such a random group of black people.
You know why?
Why?
Hold on, real quick. We got, because you know I like to keep the timestamp so I know where we're going on the fucking when I go to edit this shit. The reason that there was a black mob, Brad's Hamptons weekend, Titty used to do the white party.
Yeah.
Michael Rubin, the owner, partial owner of the Sixers, partial owner of the Fanatics.
Okay.
Michael Rubin, huge friend with Meek Mill, the guy that took the helicopter with Meek Mill out of jail.
Okay.
He wants to be the white Diddy. That's why he's throwing the white party for all the Sixers there, all the rappers there. He had Drake, Meek Mill, and Lil Baby on stage dancing with the white girl from TikTok. That's the biggest
Charlie.
Her.
And they had Uzi and Travis Scott.
Exactly.
They had Hov was there.
I'm telling
that
you.
That shit was studded, though.
Michael Rubin, the white
kid. That
shit
was studded, though. He had all them niggas at once. Had Jason Tatum. Hold on. You saw that picture that had the most random NBA players.
Exactly.
Eric Gordon, Jason Tatum. I think Draymond Green was there. Grant Williams.
Exactly.
Mo Bamba. Like, just, and Michael Blackson.
Well, Michael Blackson from Philly.
I know.
Exactly. Michael
Rubin. Why didn't Joel Embiid get invited?
He was there, nigga.
He was?
Yes.
Oh, Tyrese Maxey was there.
Yeah, because you don't see PJ, you saw PJ Tucker.
Yes, I
with James Harden with that big-ass ball of Ace of Spades. Tyrese Maxey's off to the side, Joel Embiid. God, they would turn the fuck up, yo.
Damn. Hope got it.
Sixers finna be amazing.
Mm.
All I gotta say is Sixers finna be amazing. Michael Rubin wanna be the white Diddy. And hey, yo, Michael Rubin, invite us to the next show. People try to be there.
That's a fact. I'll be the waiter or some shit like that.
I'm not. I just want to be invited to the party.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
wait a damn thing. What the
fuck?
I'm not
going to
wait a damn thing. I need to get the fuck in that bitch.
In all honesty, though, that goes to show you, bro. This is the new generation of billionaires.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Robert Kraft out the door.
Robert Kraft was there.
Bomb. But he out the, you know what I'm saying?
He was there. He took a picture with Drake.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ric Flair was there.
Yeah, that would have been. Now that would have been a party. That would have been a party. That probably would have been his last party, but that would have been a party.
He hasn't even had his last match yet.
And that might be his last match.
The party?
Either one.
I don't know.
Whatever happens first.
Ric Flair talk like he still get fucked up every day.
I bet he does.
I would too.
Most people that live off that shit their whole life.
Got you.
Have to keep doing that shit to continue to live their life.
That's very
I've known a lot
true.
Of alcoholics that live a lot long lives
with
more liquor.
That's very true.
Exactly.
It's like a stimulus check for your health.
You know about it.
Used to college.
Yeah, I'm about to say you used the malt liquor king.
I
used
to say college.
You sound like the malt liquor king back in the day.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Mr. Stories do make it seem like he was a 50-year-old man that just was an alcoholic.
Bruh, back in college, we used to take a fucking we used to take a 40, right? Yeah. We used to take an old English 40 back when they were still in the
let me get some of that OE.
Oh, yeah, still in the glasses. Drink half that bitch, pour a whole Four Loko in that bitch.
Now that sounds...
Shake that bitch up, call it a sidewalk slammer. I saw a motherfucker gobble a whole bunch of, a whole one of them shits. Like a whole 40 of sidewalk slammer and four gulps.
Jesus.
Shit was crazy. You're
saying we're doing white boys for real.
Yes, sir.
Those are white boys.
Yes, sir. You want to sign us off this week?
Yeah, I guess.
Sorry we didn't have much to talk about this week, y'all.
But now we have Mr.'s drunk story to end us off with.
Hey.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us again for another week of the podcast presented by Simple Math Matrix.
Yes, sir.
And this is the boy, this is the god, King Hoopla, also known as the kid who lyrics 6 year ribs. And I'm joined by
Mr.
AKA
Superall 357.
Also known as
Prince Motherfucking God Body.
And yes, we're signing off. But first you can catch us on all of our socials on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts at The Simple Math Matrix, and all of those things. And you can follow me at King Hoopla and him at that. At,
Prince God Body.
God oh, damn, you don't know my name. I'm sorry, kid. And be sure to like, comment, subscribe, favorite, share, you know what I'm saying? Post all to your story, jazz. All that good jazz. Be on the lookout for our daily facts of the day.
And our daily finals
hey,
now.
Hey, he took it right out of my arm, bad. You know what I'm saying? My breath. But it's cool, though. He ain't got that many breaths. So. Exactly. So, with all be it, I'm done.
Peace.